This is the Jamal Show.
Down in
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show.
Good morning, my friends. That's first of all. Really happy to see you again. Joining me once again in the land of the living. Life is for the living is what I always say. Walk with gratitude, my friends. Here's a story for you. The elevator in my building is down. It needs repair. Just this past Thanksgiving, a neighbor of mine was walking up the steps with groceries in his hand, and he fell dead on the steps from a heart attack. He died of a heart attack on Thanksgiving Day. And he was only walking up to the second floor, so probably out of shape. Imagine what a bad day that was for his wife upstairs waiting for him to bring groceries back. Now, I had Thanksgiving. I hope you had a Thanksgiving, too. I had a Thanksgiving in New Jersey at a hotel with my family, as we do every year, because nobody likes to clean up. So I heard the story about the guy that died when I returned to Hartford. And I hope the rest of you had a better Thanksgiving than he did. And I don't know his name, but his untimely demise made me think. It made me think, damn it, that could have been me. And sure, I exercise. But what does that really mean? My best friend died at 37. He was a runner. And he still died of a heart ailment. An undiagnosed heart condition. Undiagnosed meaning that nobody knew about it, including him. That event served to remind me that my days are numbered, my friends. And so are yours. So are yours. Not to sound too excited about that, but I really, really hope that you're having some fun while you're here. Because I am. In fact, this here is a radio broadcast, but I don't believe I've ever stated clearly why I'm here. And it's for fun, my friends. I'm here talking to you because I find it fun to do so. If this broadcast wasn't fun, then I wouldn't be doing it. I'd find something else to do that is fun to do. But don't get me wrong, just because this is fun doesn't mean it isn't worth doing. Just because I'm having fun right now doesn't mean that I'm doing something meaningless. In fact, the opposite is true. I feel that what I'm doing is not only meaningful, but the fact that it's fun is what keeps me doing it. At 50 years old, I figure I got maybe 40 years left on this earth. And yes, I'm giving myself some extra credit with the years. When I look back, I see that I've done my share of crying. I've had my share of pain. I've overcome some challenges, while some of them have overcome me. But when I look forward, I wish for my life to be full of fun. Because 40 years isn't a long time going forward. And I want to enjoy what I have left. Scratch that. I'm determined to enjoy what I have left. That means if I have to work, I'm going to be working at something I like to do. And it's going to be something that I have fun doing. Because my parents didn't raise me to just be somebody's worker. And I'm not going to worry about what other people have to say as long as I'm having fun. I'm only responsible to me and my children. In relationships, I spend time with women that I can have fun with. First and foremost, I want to spend time with a smile on my face and not a forced one. And I realize that I alone am responsible for my own happiness. And that's a big thing. And this goes for you as well. Bring your contributions to the world, but make sure you're enjoying yourself. Because if you aren't enjoying yourself, you won't continue. You'll never be the best at doing something you hate doing. But you got to be careful when you're having fun. You got to have your wits about you. Because when you're having fun, you're vulnerable. As a young man in Harlem, I learned that I must always be able to defend myself in the streets. I learned that the hard way, Mac.
Yeah?
You can't walk home from a bar too drunk to defend yourself.
That's fun.
As a man.
Okay.
Take it from me. You never know who's waiting to take advantage of you when you're at your weakest. I watch a lot of that show, The First 48, for example. And it always strikes me that nobody ever knows they're going to get murdered that day when they walk out the door. Look at what happened to that beautiful girl, Cinquella Robinson. I bet you haven't heard about this because it's been all over black media, but the mainstream media hasn't picked it up. While Cinquella Robinson was vacationing in the Mexican state of Baja California, sure, this is a woman who went on a vacation to have fun. No big deal. She always went on a vacation. She was a small businesswoman. But this time, she decided to have fun with the wrong people. She went with people who ended up beating her to death while she was nude in front of several men who filmed the beatdown. One of them was supposed to be her best friend. And he stood there filming this woman getting beat down in the nude so that he can put it on social media. Everybody needs a friend like that, Matt.
Hey.
She wasn't a fighter, so she didn't fight back. And nobody helped to step in to help her. She ended up getting beat to death, and she died with a broken neck. Shanquella Robinson. Then her friends left her unconscious in a hotel and ran back to the U.S. and visited her parents. And you know what they told Shanquella's parents?
No, what?
They told her she died of alcohol poisoning.
I remember that, yeah.
They lied to Shanquella's parents about their only child's death, even though they had put a video of it on social media. And you know what the worst part of this horrible story is? Shanquella paid for the room that everyone stayed in. She's the one that paid, that financed the trip. She financed her own murder. Now, her family is suffering because she chose the wrong people to have fun with. She let her hair down. Justice may be coming for them now, but they found Shanquella vulnerable and they took advantage of her. On the other hand, there may be other times when you hang with the right people. Now, I know you heard of this guy. The type of people that you can really get along with.
Conway?
You can trust them. You can bond with them. You can tell somebody's not in hip-hop. Somebody hasn't listened to the latest hip-hop song.
Conway?
Conway. Conway the Machine from, there's a group with him in it. Anyway, we'll get to him. It's like when stand-up comedian Trump gets with white supremacists. Trump sees eye to eye with them. And that's why he has lunch with them at Mar-a-Lago like he did last week. I have no idea why the media flipped out over this meeting with Nick Fuentes and Kanye the Puppet. I'd assumed that stand-up comedian Trump has meetings with white supremacists all the time. The media was like, he had lunch with a white supremacist. I was like, again?
A base.
Again? I mean, I guess it's different now that he's running for office again. But what kind of people do you think pay to be a club member at Mar-a-Lago? Like, what kind of people pay $250,000? Yeah. I want to be a club member at this guy's
Mar-a-Lago.
Club.
I mean,
The guy that wanted to ban Muslims? I want to be a member at his club, at his personal club. What kind of people think go there? Non-white supremacists?
Value of that membership went up, didn't it?
Teachers from New York City? Teachers from the Teachers Union at New York City go to Mar-a-Lago, you think? And by the way, why is Conway, as you call him, hanging with white supremacists in the first place? I mean, he can self-hate all he wants, but doesn't he have black children? Did he get the memo? Did he not get the memo that white supremacists don't mean well for his own children? You know, white supremacists are not really fond of black children. I don't know if you knew this. He's not in his head, but apparently everybody didn't know this. Everyone didn't know that white supremacists don't like. And last I checked, Kanye West has 4 black children that are watching him going around hanging with a white supremacist. Now, my son's old enough where he would probably have a problem with me if I hung with people that meant him no well. You know what I'm saying? I would think that your son would come to you too, Mac. Like, hey, you know, why are you hanging with David Duke, Dad?
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
It makes me mean ribs, man.
Imagine being one of his kids. Hey, Dad, thanks for hanging with that dude who called my mom a whore. See you on Christmas. Another guy who had a lot of fun recently. Let me tell you about this guy. You might have heard about him. President Obama. You know, he was really recently on the trail. I often wonder if he gets paid for that. But he seems to be having so much fun on the trail. He was out in
Atlanta.
Georgia. That's correct. Thank you very much. You're going to do well on this show.
I'm trying. You're going far, guy. I'm trying.
As you know, Senator Warnock and Herschel Walker are in a tight race down in Georgia over the Senate seat. Herschel's brought a little bit of baggage with him, as if he's going on a plane trip. There is now a third woman who is alleging abuse by Herschel Walker. I know you don't believe her. So there's something to chew on here. And this woman's given her name. So I won't say it here, but she is given her name. And she is not anonymous. Now, Mac, let me ask you if you remember, because it's been a long time. It's been a whole week. Do you remember that clip I was playing last week with Herschel Walker talking about vampires and werewolves?
Yep, yep.
Well, Obama had a lot of fun with that. And first, let me just show you what he said.
This, you ever watch a stupid movie?
This is what I was playing last week.
Don't get better, but keep watching it anyway.
Now,
the other night, I watched.
If you remember, you and I were trying to figure out what the hell he was saying.
Yeah, where it was going.
About Jimmy Chuck.
Where it was going, yeah.
And nobody knew. Well, Obama did figure it out.
Oh.
This clip is only 45 seconds, but you need to hear it. Check this out.
Since the last time I was here, Mr. Walker has been talking about issues that are of great importance to the people of Georgia, like whether it's better to be a vampire or a werewolf. This is a debate that I must confess I once had myself when I was seven. Then I grew up. In case you're wondering, by the way, Mr. Walker decided he wanted to be a werewolf, which is great. As far as I'm concerned, he can be anything he wants to be, except for a United States Senator.
Sorry for how loud that was, my friends. Sorry for how loud that was. I had to get it all in. Obama has a loud voice, and he's an excellent speaker, as you can see. What'd you think of that, man? He figured it out, didn't he?
I didn't even want to work with it, so, you know, what can I say?
Yeah, I didn't know what Herschel Walker was saying, but Obama figured it out. He was like, look, the argument here, he set it out like a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
He was like, the argument here, my friends, is whether a werewolf is better than a vampire.
Yeah.
And he was like, let's figure this out.
You know?
The way Mr. Walker came at it was good, but he wasn't seven at the time.
And
this is
meaningful in
so,
life, right?
Meaningful debate on the Jamal Show. Anyway, let's move on to something I do find especially fun, and that is a new Jamal Show award that I can give out to a deserving gentleman who happens to be the most powerful black politician in the country at this time. This is the guy who is following the great Nancy Pelosi to lead the Democratic Party. And by the way, he's the first black man in history to do so. My friends, his name is Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from New York. But I now christen him just like I christened you, Archbishop.
I told you he was going to get it.
When I first got to the show, I said, Bishop, you are the bishop. That's what I call you.
I called it.
Your name is no longer existent. This man is now known as the man from Brooklyn. The man from Brooklyn. Hakeem Jeffries is a solid, solid man. He knows what he's doing. Jim Clyburn stepped to the side for him. Jim Clyburn's still in leadership, but a lot of people stepped to the side for this man. He's been in training with Nancy Pelosi for years. I call him the man from Brooklyn because that's where he's from. And boy, he shows it. Please allow me to show you why he deserves the Jamal Show Award. Do I even have that? Let's see. This is the Jamal Show Award music. And let me just tell you why. This clip, bam, 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 bam. It sounds like we all drunk in here. This clip is particularly touching. It couldn't be clipped but so much. It's about a minute and a half, but you'll see why it's so important. In this clip I'm about to play for you, Hakeem Jeffries directly addresses Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who Dr. Mack loves. I mean, he just loves this guy. He's got pictures all over his wall.
My peoples.
Hakeem Jeffries is responding to Clarence Thomas saying that the Supreme Court is being bullied. He says the Supreme Court is being bullied into making certain decisions, or people are trying to bully the Supreme Court. And by the way, Justice Thomas's wife is a straight white-wing nut who believes that in the big lie that stand-up comedian Trump won the election against Joe Biden. Thomas's wife, Jenny Thomas, by the way, is a white woman. Not that it matters. But I find it funny that this guy believes in interracial marriage, but not gay marriage, because both interracial and gay marriage come under your privacy rights that Justice Thomas also doesn't believe in. I guess gay marriage is not as fun to him as interracial marriage is. Anyway, Justice Clarence Thomas is widely viewed as a guy who doesn't have any sense by guys like me. So I like this message. Check out this clip. It's kind of harsh, man. You're going to like it.
All right.
This is Leader Jeffries, the new leader, Jeffries, to Clarence Thomas. It's like a minute and a half long, but I could not cut it, man. Just bear with me. Here we go.
If Justice Thomas really wants to deal with bullying in America, or this problem of people supposedly unwilling to accept outcomes that they don't like, I've got some advice for Justice Thomas. Start in your own home. Have a conversation with Jeannie Thomas. She refused to accept the legitimacy of the 2020 presidential election. Why? Because she didn't like the outcome. And so instead, she tried to steal the election, overthrow the United States government, and install a tyrant. That's bullying. That's being unwilling to accept an outcome because you don't like the results. Because the former twice impeached so-called president of the United States of America lost legitimately to Joe Biden. How did she respond? Instead, she said the Bidens should face a military tribunal in Guantanamo Bay on trumped up charges of sedition. You've got to be kidding me.
You've got to
and
be
lastly,
kidding
let me
me
ask this question of Brother Thomas.
Here we go.
Why are you such a hater?
Mm-hmm.
Hate on civil rights, hate on women's rights, hate on reproductive rights, hate on voting rights, hate on marital rights, hate on equal protection under the law, hate on liberty and justice for all. hate on free and fair elections. Why are you such a hater? And you think you can get away with it, escape public scrutiny, because you think that shamelessness is your superpower?
Mr. Chairman, a point of order.
Well, here's a news flash. Mr. Chairman, from the House Judiciary Committee, truth pressed to the ground will rise again, and truth will be your kryptonite.
Well, it's easier to be a hater than a lover. It's very easy.
Man, I wanna have a talk with someone like that where I'm like, and I'm like, man, and truth will be your kryptonite. You know what I'm saying? That's a great way to end like a speech, like to be a professor. Be like, yo, by the way, truth will be your kryptonite, man. That dude, you know what's wrong with that speech? I didn't make it. That's what's wrong with that speech. And so, for that wonderful speech, of course he gets the Jamal Show Award. How excellent is that man? The new leader of the Democratic Party, the most powerful black man in America. I will gladly accept this award on behalf of Congressman Jeffries, because I know that's what he would want. So I will sacrifice myself in his honor. So there you go. I haven't given out that award in ages, so I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had fun. But right about now, it's time to kick the show off. So, welcome to Saturday, my friends, the very next day of your life. This is The Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent, live and on your favorite podcasting network. My name is Jamal. I do not hate Jews at all, but I am an information junkie from Harlem, and I'm passing the fruits of my illness on to you. Then you can pass it on to your loved ones, and at the end, everyone will be smarter and also single for life. As for me, I'm your listener guide, mostly along for the ride, coming straight through the Hartford studios of WKND, and I'm doing that live, like Stuart Rhodes, but I'm not going to jail for 20 years afterwards. On this day, the revolution will be televised on Facebook and YouTube, if they haven't gone bankrupt yet, because every company does sooner or later. That's a quote from Jeff Bezos. You're welcome. Greetings to everybody in the studio, the Archbishop and Dr. Max, standing by me, closer than Kanye and Hitler. Now, we are live on the radio right now at WKND 97.5 and 1480 AM. Look that up in your Google search page. You'll find a nice little radio stream. You can hear us on the internet. This is live radio, my friends. It's not just a stupid podcast. It just becomes a stupid podcast later on. So it's been 2 weeks since you last heard my voice. The last time we talked, the theme was about boundaries. That's up on the podcast universe right now, and it's worth checking out. Today, I'm here to remind us that fun doesn't just come into your life. You have to make it fun. And only you can make it fun. Because only you know what you think is fun. And I gotta be honest, that wasn't very fun to say, but it's true. Lastly, please know that my views do not represent the views of this station, so have some fun at my expense. And address all your hate mail to Dr. Mack, because he's the one who really wants to deal with it. He dares you to write him. He dares you to write him nasty mail.
Amen.
Okay, folks, I'm going to show you a little bit of fun with music. Since it's the holidays, I figured I'd play you a little Sharonda Gray. She is truly the hardest working girl in show business. Always doing shows all over Florida, all over the Midwest. She is the hardest working girl in show business. Happy holidays, y'all. This is Sharonda Gray.
Waiting for sunrise, a stocking full of candy and a big surprise. Look at the happiness in their eyes, they're glad it's Christmas.
People caroling into the night, where the snow is falling, there'll be sleigh bells.
nation. Let's lift our hands to the holy nation to say thank you, Father. And happy birthday to your son.
You know, you really have to believe in what you're doing in life in order to better get through it. That's really the message of this show. That's what this show is all about. And we hope you believe in the message as much as we do, which is why we're hoping that you'll take this opportunity to support us through ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/The Jamal Show. Please join us there. Consider buying us a coffee. We need the caffeine to keep this show running and to keep telling the truth, quite honestly. So why don't you join us, and we'll give you a nice shout-out on the next broadcast. Join us at ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/The Jamal Show. We'd really appreciate any support you can give us. Thank you very much.
Hello, hello, hello again, my friends. I'm back again like Will Smith. By the way, he's back again. Did you see him?
Yeah,
he's,
I did.
His movie on Apple Plus. I don't deal with
it's
Apple.
It's a good movie. It's a good
Mac
movie.
Mac is an Apple guy. If it comes on Apple, that means I won't see it because I hate Apple. But I'm a Samsung Galaxy guy, but Mac will have it at his house.
Most definitely.
You saw the movie already?
I saw the previews, and you know, he got enough previews to give you the gist
of it. The cover is nice. The cover is really, really trying to bring him back.
Yeah. Well, he made this movie prior to the event.
Oh, that's right. But Apple has enough money to drop the movie.
Yeah.
Apple is one of the most profitable companies in the world, but they could just drop it if they wanted to. This is Tim Cook giving Will Smith a shot back into public life. He was just on The Daily Show. By the way, that song was called Happy Holidays by Sharonda Gray and company, and you can find that tune on your favorite streaming platform. I suggest you do it. She's a wonderful singer. I would say you could find it at the record store, but that's back in Dr. Mac's days. There are no more record stores. Unfortunately, regardless, you should always support independent artists. I wonder where kids go to cut school now, because I used to cut school in record stores. Anyway, now moving on. The subject is fun, but the topic that we're about to tackle, those topics are not fun. They are the opposite of fun. We are about to talk about mass murder, and it shouldn't be a surprise to you because it happens a lot here in America. In fact, the night before our last show, we had an active shooter at a gay club in Colorado. That was November 19th at Club Q. Our last broadcast for the Jamal Show was on November 20th. That was the Boundary Show. But we had no idea when we were broadcasting that a mass shooting had just gone down hours before. Mac, that's how frequently these things are going down, but I think there are lessons we can take from all of them. Now, let's look at Club Q for a minute. Like all these shooters, the Club Q shooter on November 19th is basically a man who should never have had a gun. Right? He will remain nameless on this show, but he had been previously arrested for threatening his mother with a bomb, as you do.
Well, look, okay. I happen to have taken a flight down to my crib down. Oh, I live south of Mar-a-Lago, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, right. And one of the things
did
I
did you
do,
get to visit this time?
Well, not this time. Okay. He was out, and you know. And one of the things you have to do is not depend on anyone else but yourself to protect yourself. You know, so therefore, situational awareness is key for the safety of you and your family.
I'm surprised you bring that up, because I was actually going to bring that up myself. Basically, the reason why there's so many guns in America is because people do feel like they have to take care of themselves, right? I'm going to get to that. Let's talk about this guy. You know, he's nameless. The media hasn't released him. Here's the nice part about this whole story, though. Even though he's crazy, he was still able to keep his guns, right? But when he went in, he got his ass kicked. So we're going to get to that. Despite Colorado having a red flag law that gives law enforcement the power to take your guns temporarily if you're acting crazy like he was, you know, threatening your mother with a bomb could be considered acting crazy. This murderer happened to live in an area where the deputies didn't want to enforce the law. They didn't want to take his guns. So he can have a long gun and a handgun in the house, threaten his mother with a bomb, hold the police at bay. He was locked down in the house. He was barricaded in his house, and the cops were outside for hours.
He
wouldn't come out.
He wasn't one of us.
He wasn't one of us. Oh, well, you know. If he was one of us, he would have never survived.
Right.
They'd
have brought out
a
tank. The tank would have been there. Yeah.
There is no barricading in a house for a black man with
right.
a happy ending.
Right.
There's no going on. There's no end to the story.
They'd have dropped an A-bomb on his ass.
So... Not only did he hold the cops at bay, but after he held the cops at bay, those same cops were like, nah, let him keep his guns. Because we believe in the right of people to have guns, so we'll give it to this guy, the guy that held us at bay, with the guns that were given back to him. So how about that? That's purity.
You know,
that's purity.
Sounds like he needs a good lawyer. It's a good lawyer needed here.
The next week, we come in, and Dr. Mack holds me up with a gun. And I take the gun from him, and at the end of the show, I give it back to him. Like, I trust you now.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
But since you didn't kill me, right.
Don't do that again, man.
Yeah, right.
Here's your gun back. That's what they did. So the deputies are not following the law, so he got to kill these five. He killed five people and injured 19 people in 6 minutes. 6 minutes. This is amazing. Think about this. The phone call was made at 11:52, and the cops had him in custody at 11:58. Isn't that crazy?
Why?
Because of a guy named Rich Fierro. Now, let me tell you the guy. The guy came in with a long gun and a handgun to kill five people and injured 19 in 6 minutes. He certainly would have killed more people, but he was stopped and his ass was kicked by two club goers who were unarmed, one of whom was an ex-Marine named Rich Fierro. Now, Rich Fierro and the other man took the gunman's weapons and beat him up with those weapons. They beat him up pretty bad to the point where he had to spend several days in a hospital.
Did you see him at his arraignment?
Yeah,
he was all swollen up,
he was
man.
Bad. Yeah. He was bad. The lesson we learned there is that these guys ain't tough, man. You're not tough because you have a gun.
That's a repeat lesson. Come on, we've learned that every since. Ask the Jews how they felt once they saw all the guys who were running the camps. He was a little pipsqueak guys running the camps.
The lesson learned here is that a gun doesn't make you tough. A gun, I always tell my friends that, you know why shootings don't happen at black schools? Because a black kid that's getting bullied will probably get that gun taken from him. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not necessarily afraid of guns, but they're too young to be afraid, right? So, these guys aren't tough. These gun guys, they aren't tough. They talk a good game, but a gun doesn't make you tough. Here, this guy had two guns, and he still got his ass kicked by people in heels. He got his ass kicked by people wearing heels. Let him go back and tell that to his right-wing friends.
Yeah.
Then 3 days later, we had a mass shooting in Walmart. Kind of rare. I know that there are others, but these are the ones that stood out the most in the media because we have a shooting like every day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Walmart shooting was done by a black guy, apparently a disgruntled employee. He was in... This sounds actually kind of funny now that we know what happened.
He's dead, right?
Yes, he is dead.
That's all you had to say. And I didn't know
what
he was.
But more importantly, he was on the overnight team. He was the overnight team lead.
Right.
Right? He was the guy that held down the store overnight. His name will remain unknown on this show, but he was basically a manager going after all the other managers that he didn't like. This mass shooting was memorable to me because of the way the shooter acted. He actually put the guns. He put his gun to people's hands and let them go. Like, people that he was cool with, he gave them an experience. Because I've heard about this before. When you put, when a perpetrator puts a gun to a person's head but lets them live, there's a lot of psychological stuff that go behind
their
that.
Mind is scrambled.
Yeah, because they're like, why did I live? And this woman was on TV crying. Like, he let me go. She had only been there 5 days. And he literally didn't have a beef with her. He was like, eh, get out of here. Go ahead. Go home.
He went there with an agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. He killed like 3 black people.
But can I bring something up?
Go ahead.
Have you seen what has happened recently in New York City with the mayor? Did you see what he just did in terms of how he's going to sweep city streets of the mentally ill, whether they want to be swept or not? I mean, I mean, we talk about quality of life issues, okay? I mean, this is the thing that's going on right now. And if this is followed in other cities, because you and I have talked about this type of thing often, about the prevalence of aggressive panhandling and these people on the streets and the health issues with it. All right, here's a brother, here's a mayor who has decided he's going to do something about it. And it is aggressive. It is aggressive. Definitely aggressive.
Well, let me just say this. For people who haven't lived in New York City, the extent of the mental health crisis of New York City is like that you have never seen.
Oh.
It's like that you've never seen. I have people watching now. My next door neighbor, when I was growing up, is watching right now.
Why is he
on
ill?
Facebook show. Hello, Sharice White. She was my next door neighbor. I used to look in the window, and she knows, and I know. Uh-huh. If you live in New York City, you see mental illness of the extent that is just you never see that in Hartford. In Hartford, you see poor people looking for money, right? And some of them are mentally ill. That's why they stay on the street. But in New York, I mean, it is an industry, just like in the same way that homelessness is like an industry in California. When they have like tent cities that demand water and services
and fire protection and all that stuff.
You know, New York has a homeless industry. It is a welfare state. And I don't mean that in a negative way because I grew up on welfare. Welfare cheese is one of the greatest things I ever tasted in my life. The best thing the federal government... I got to take a second.
Do it.
The best thing the federal government ever did was welfare cheese.
I've had my block of it. I had my square pieces of that. It made no doubt.
I do give... this mayor, Eric Adams, who I know, loosely.
Go ahead.
He wouldn't say he knows me, though. Let me tell you that. Huh? Yeah. You know, he's trying. He's trying something. Because there's a big line here that you cross when you take people off the street involuntarily. You know, and he's talking about, he said on a news conference, he's talking about people like, that are playing basketball with an imaginary basketball. You know what I'm saying? People that are, you know, doing a nude in the middle of the street. Like, I've seen that. In New York, you see this kind of stuff. In front of the DMV on 125th Street, they had to close it down because they had like a homeless encampment in front of the Department of Motor Vehicles. You know what I'm saying? Like, people's literally standing nude.
You cannot allow that to go on continually in a modern society.
It brings down the psyche of the people that live in that neighborhood when they're walking by with their kids and this guy's standing there peeing in the middle of the street.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the kind of stuff you see in New York City.
Right.
Because it's so many people. You know, so I applaud them. It's not easy because it's never easy to take somebody against their will unless they commit the crime. You know what I'm saying? But America does lax on mental health. This is an important point. I'm glad you brought this up because as a criminal defense attorney, I see where the mentally ill end up.
Yeah.
And it's in prison.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's in prison.
Where they get their meds.
Getting back to the shooting really quickly.
Yes, sorry.
The lesson I took from the Walmart shooting is that you got to be nice to everybody. Right. And I'm not saying that the people killed weren't nice. I'm just saying that this killer made choices in that Walmart. He made choices with people's lives. And some people lived. Some people lived. Chances are the people who lived were the people who had no beef with the gunman. So be nice to everybody. Don't be an asshole. Now, people, there's a lot of gun violence out here, probably because I want to analyze this right quick. Probably because there's just so many guns in America. Only one country has more guns than America per capita, and that's Yemen. And these shootings don't seem...
They also have more knives.
They also have more knives. They have a lot more... they have a lot more sand.
Right,
a lot more heat. A
lot more knives. Everybody carries a knife.
Already there have been over 600 mass shootings this year alone in America. We can't even waste time talking about restricting gun access because it's pretty clear that we're not going to do anything about that problem. Apparently... Some people feel that the power to kill is a freedom that everybody should have. And that is not driven by logic. It's driven by fear. People in America have guns not for fun, but because they are largely fearful. And why wouldn't they be, Matt? Everything from legislation to consumer products is sold to Americans using fear. Americans are constantly being driven, given reasons to be afraid. Look at the past midterm elections. Republicans spent millions of dollars trying to convince the country that we are being overrun by crime. Right? And they forgot to mention that the worst crime is actually in the red states, in the Republican states, in the states run by Republicans. That's where the worst crime is. So that went well. That's why they didn't get the red wave, right?
Uh-huh.
You got the red trickle. Republicans use fear to control their base. They are the ones stocking up for a civil war. Just a while back, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, we played this on the show, he told a crowd of white people that black people want to steal what they have. Out loud. So of course people want guns. They're constantly told to be scared of others who look different. Of course they want guns. They are also being told that they cannot trust the government to protect them. So you know what? That's what you were saying earlier. They're being told they can't trust the government to protect them. So now they have to protect themselves.
Amen.
Think about it. You're in the Midwest, West Bubble, Ohio, and the nearest police station is 10 minutes away, and someone's knocking at your door threateningly. You're not going to wait 10 minutes for the cops to come and put the white tape down. Right? You got to defend yourself.
Right.
The more rural this is, the more...
Okay, the more rural it is. The more, right. The, all right. Nevada, yeah. New Mexico, and all the rest. You must.
Now, you
Oklahoma,
know something funny?
Texas.
I remember the first big media mass shooting at Columbine High School in 1999. It was the biggest story of the year at the time. Movies, documentaries were made about it. Interviews were done with the parents. Walkthroughs were filmed. Video of the massacre was released. It was a big deal. Nowadays, you can actually miss a mass shooting if you don't watch the news for a day.
Uh-huh.
That is certainly a decline for our country, isn't it, Mac? Anyway, let's get to a break. I mean, really quickly, I'm one to believe that there are just too many guns in America. And, you know, what do you do with guns? You use them. Is that the problem, Mac, or is it our mental health? You're a doctor.
Guns don't kill people. People kill people.
Okay, so you attended the NRA annual meeting. Someone attended the annual
Guns
NRA
don't
meeting.
Kill people. People kill people.
Okay, so on that, I will announce a break. I will announce
because if I want to get you, I'm going to get you, okay? All right? I mean, you know, like locks are for honest people.
So
all right?
You
a true
are,
thief, if he wants your stuff, he will come and get it.
Are you a gun owner?
I would like to be.
Okay. Well, somebody won't announce that they have a gun on air. That makes sense. Time for a break with some music, of course. And after that, we're going to try to talk to my good friend Jimmy a bit. I hear he's got a book for us to read, so stay with us. And until then, please enjoy the music. This is a jam called Smokescreen by a rapper from Harlem, my hometown. His name is G Streets. Play it.
Too fast for these niggas, but won't even let them adjust the height. I'm taking over the show. I won't even let this nigga touch a mic. Ain't no pretending to get this my life. I did it once, about to chew it twice.
Turn some, burn 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 some. Feel that fire in my system, man. You know I got that heat. Feel that fire in my system. Gotta put this on repeat. Got that fire in my blood. I light it up and I'm at peace. Got that fire in my lungs. I blow it out and they deceased. Burn some, 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 burn some.
Step the whole way from the cone. Light it up. I'm in my zone. Got my tribe with me, nigga. I ain't do this shit alone. Spitting fire at a nigga. Spitting fire from the chrome. Fire through your speakers, boy. You hear my hip hop song. Switch it up. Okay, okay. I'm from YO where we don't fade. Nah. Pull it out, shoot it in broad day. It is a jungle. I swear you a goat ape right there on Broadway. Wild out, wild out. Later on pulling them cars out. Yeah. Smoking me behind the bar. Celebrating, cause we beating the odds. And then who we are now. It's real. So don't you dead in the weak squeal. Big deal. I'ma show out of some big wheels. Make them mad when I burn once the kid peel. No front. I'm working hard and they doing nothing. We in the field and I'm sick and done. Eating good about the roll, nigga.
Burn some, 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 burn some.
Why else?
I'm riding, sliding the spaceship. Check my trajectory. I gotta keep a throwaway, cause it's sketchy. I keep you in, but I won't let you see my directory. Clean cut, but when I leave the scene, it be messy. I'm staying old school, won't never catch me in Josiah. Cause where I'm from, if you wore that, this shoe was crappy. Murderous bars, yeah, my tongue is a clip and it's deadly. Got one for all of you, my war trunk full and I'm ready. Forearm stiff, sights locked in and I'm steady. Don't force my hands, what's attached to my fingers is heavy. Multi-talent, yeah, get it all kind of ways. Burn something.
Never in a million years did I ever expect my healthy daughter, Vienna, to fall asleep watching TV and tragically never wake up. She was only 2 years old and this happened at our home in Holmdel, New Jersey in 2017. Her death was categorized as SUDC, sudden unexplained death in childhood. Essentially, this is SIDS, but in kids 1 to 18 years old. Never heard of SUDC? Well, neither did my husband and I, and we are both physicians. Please visit www.vienna.team to learn more about our sweet daughter Vienna's story, our family's 501c3 nonprofit, Team Vienna for SUDC Awareness, and how you can get involved to help uncover these unexplained tragedies with us. As a team, I know we can get this done. Thank you so much for your support. I'm Vienna's mommy, Dr. Denise Wunderler, founder of Team Vienna, and co-founder of the SUDC Coalition. Thank you so much.
Hello again, my friends. Life is for the living here at the Jamal Show, the place to get intelligent. That last piece of music was called Smokescreen by this Harlem rapper named G Streets. Thanks to Adam Michael Ray for giving me that. You can find that song anywhere you stream your music, I promise. Now, a quick shout-out to Dr. Denise Wunderler. That is a special friend of mine, one of the biggest supporters of the show that we had. And we met through my father, who is a physician here in Connecticut, and a wonderful woman, Olympic doctor for the U.S. volleyball team. And she has gone through similar tragedy as I, and please do check out her website. She comes to the show quite a bit. Now, we are running out of time as usual, but whenever we are running out of time, that is the most special time to take time to listen to a very close friend of mine, Nat Rhymed. We've known each other for about 25 years. He and I go way back to Syracuse University, where we met as students. And we became tight. I know he's on the line. His name is Jimmy. Now, Jimmy's a special kind of person, if you know what I mean. The kind of guy you can never, ever forget, even if you want to. I know many people on this, watching on Facebook, know him. And he reads a lot of books. So every now and then, without us even asking, sometimes Jimmy tells his friends about the books he reads, and damn it, he makes us want to read those books too. So I thought I'd do us all a favor and bring my old friend Jimmy to the Jamal Show.
All right, let me
help us make us more intelligent. But you know what? He does complain if you don't play his intro, so you know, let me go ahead and get that out the way. Where is that? There you go. Jimmy!
What's up, man?
Jimmy, are you there?
I am here, brother. How you feeling?
Great. That is great. All right, so we're going to try to do this the right way. And let me just ask you a question. What book do you have for us today, my friend?
Okay, so the theme is fun, right? Hello?
That's right. The theme is fun. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. All right, so I got a book for adults and for kids. You probably have it somewhere in your house. You probably got it for a graduation present. Or if you got a divorce, or if you got a new job, or if you were moving. The book is by Dr. Seuss, and it's called Oh, the Places You'll Go. You know what I'm saying? And basically, the reason I chose it is because it seems like a little kid's like a little kid's nursery rhyme. He talks about, like, if you go down this street, there'll be dangerous things, so you won't, you know, and you'll go down this one. But it's really deep for adults to just kind of revisit. So I'm sure you probably have a copy of Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss somewhere in your house. If you have children, read it to them. If you don't, just sit and read it again because it's really kind of deep.
Now, before I ask you why you chose this book, I just want to share a couple of things that I know about Dr. Seuss that I find very, very inspiring. Right. First of all, Dr. Seuss was one of the most turned down authors that I know of in history. He got turned down by every publisher in the nation. He sent his manuscripts to every publisher in the nation. And it wasn't until he was about to give up, he sent his last manuscript out, that he got picked up. And
wow.
One of the greatest writers of children's books ever. I loved Dr. Seuss books when I was growing up. There's another one, Green Eggs and Ham.
Green Eggs and Ham. We all know
one,
Green Eggs and Ham.
One of the greatest children's books I've ever read. And I still love it. I wish I had a copy right now. But let me just add this. Green Eggs and Ham was the result of a bet between he and the publisher. He bet the publisher that he could write a book in 50 words.
Yeah.
And wow. Green Eggs and Ham is exactly 50 words, and it was actually a big hit.
Very right. Every kid had to read it. By the way, tell them, they're only 15 miles. You know, the museum, he's from Springfield, Mass.
He is.
Yeah, the museum is right up there by the train station.
What kind of guy was he as a kid?
I don't know.
I know you've been around.
Wait.
He's a psychologist, right?
I have a new hammer attack in the WKND studios about to happen. So, Jimmy, sorry to ignore you for a minute. Are you still there? Tell me why you chose this book. What made this book stand out to you?
The reason I chose the book is because, like you guys were just talking about Green Eggs and Ham, everyone knows Dr. Seuss. But this one, Oh, the Places You'll Go, he wrote for adults. And he wrote it in the Dr. Seuss style, but it's really for adults that are going through something really major. So like a divorce or like graduating from college or leaving where they live and going somewhere new or just getting ready to have a family or getting married or whatever. It's actually an adult book for major, ginormous, life-changing events. But it's written in the Dr. Seuss style, so that's why.
In a way, I guess you could say, well, Dr. Mack would say that I'm like the Dr. Seuss of radio, in a way. Because,
it's now the choice of divorce. That was the joy to me.
Now, I might have thrown those words into his mouth, but I know they're true. Because my whole idea is to take complex subjects and break them down to simple. And that's what he does. In a way, The Simpsons did that too, but... On Dr. Seuss, he was really a great writer, and all his books are good. I mean, I don't think I know All the Places You Will Go as well. But according to you, Jimmy, it's something that black kids can learn from as well?
Yeah, If at least one person actually goes and gets Oh, the Places You'll Go, yeah, you'll definitely, you could probably even read it online. It's the same kind of thing where it's a little more than 50 words, maybe 100 words. But each page is like a lesson. You know, like the Ten Crack Commandments by Biggie Smalls, like something like that. You know, each one is like a little lesson, something you could take with you.
You know, like about doctors and children's books, what they're really trying to do is get away from the say, oh, he's a black kid or he's a white kid or whatever. And another thing that's really great about him, most of his stuff is really positive. Even now, some stuff has come out. Some of his earlier stuff was, you know, had a little racial stuff in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the Dr. Seuss Foundation actually withdrew some of that stuff. They withdrew it on their own.
On their own.
And then the right wing was like, oh, why are you withdrawing Dr. Seuss? They were like, no, we're doing it willingly because right. Dr. Seuss would have never wanted this stuff out to have his name tarnished.
Like Disney had to change his son. You know, Elmer Fudd, right? You know, he was originally black. The first renditions of Elmer Blood, he was a black hunter. You know, but we're in blackface.
Didn't know that.
Hey.
I think I've seen
that.
So, Jimmy, any last words that you have for our audience this week? I know you'll be back in 2 weeks. We might start again in January.
Hey, any
way to contact you, discuss some of the stuff? Or I know that I've been getting calls about your segment, and people have actually, I know someone that actually bought the 11 Rings book that you mentioned 2 weeks ago. So any last words you want to leave our listeners with today?
Hey, I appreciate you guys for being out there. I appreciate the feedback. Definitely get back to the radio station and let them know. Let Jamal know that that you're out there. And everyone go out and get that Dr. Seuss book. It's awesome.
And also great for kids. I love Jimmy. We'll be talking later. Go ahead and let him go. We got to go now. Jimmy's always the best part of the segment, but we got to go now. Let me say this to all the people who support the show. Alex Sanchez, Dr. Al Matt, Joe Duncan, Rachel Ann Penn, AJ Bear Taylor, all the watchers, Edwin Vargas, the Archbishop, David King, and everybody else. These are good people, and we pray for your continued support. But most of all, we love our listeners, all 10 of them. Perhaps now, perhaps more now, maybe we have 12. My friends, without the listener, we wouldn't have anyone to talk to, and that would be sad indeed. So please take care of yourself and try to take care of someone else too. If you want to reach me, that's JamalShowRadio@gmail.com. Send me an email. Send me some music so I can play it. Help me play your music. Have a good day, y'all. I'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Maybe in January, actually. See you.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
Jamal.
Jamal C. Wright.
This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show. This is the Jamal Show.